I cannot stop thinking about the mid-air collision over the Potomac at Reagan Airport a week ago. Can't stop thinking about it. So I want to talk to you all about it and just get some things off my chest, things that I'm thinking about. And you might find that interesting as well. So welcome. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. I was actually at the Students for Life Summit just a few days before this incident, where I flew into the same airport, by the way, Reagan Airport, which is only about 15-minute drive from the White House. It's a very convenient airport to fly into when you want to get into D.C. And I was there, and a woman asked me, she said, when are you going to start doing some more disaster episodes for Free For All Friday? Because I remember way back in the day, I used to always do disasters and how to survive and prep tips. I should bring back some of that stuff, you know. So I thought, oh, you know, maybe soon we'll see if something comes up. And, well, lo and behold, something does come up. So I thought, you know, why not talk about that? I want to relate it to a few other disasters that have been on my mind. Now, I'm just processing stuff here because, you know, you always think life is going to go a certain way, and life can easily just throw a curveball for you. I guess this one really hit me a lot more because this is like the first we haven't had a major air disaster like this in the United States since 2009. So 2009, there was Colgan Air. That airlines doesn't exist anymore. Let me bring that up here. So the 2009, it was Colgan's Air Flight 3407. It was a flight from Newark to Buffalo, New York. And it was flying on actually a turboprop plane. I guess for me, like, I travel a lot. Sometimes I travel up to like 3 times a month. I'm trying to dial that back, but I travel and I fly all the time. I fly into that airport, Reagan. That could have easily been one of my flights that I get on and go into Reagan International. And so what happened, you know, before I talk about Colgan Air, if you're not as familiar with what I'm talking about, January 29, 25, PSA Airlines, American Eagle Flight 5342, a regional airline working for American Airlines. And I fly on PSA and American Eagle all the time. I live in Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth. It's the American Airlines main hub. So I fly on American Airlines 98% of the time. And I have flown on planes of this size. This is a Canadair regional jet, CRJ-700. Small, but not tiny, right? Like I would be, as the planes get smaller, I get more nervous. I've had friends who have private pilot licenses. They fly little Cessnas, say, oh, I'd love to take you out for a flight. And I'm like, nope, hard no. I have watched so many videos about private aviation crashes. Like pilot makes arrogant mistake, kills 5 people on his plane. Like, no, thank you. The only people I trust to fly me in an airplane are commercial airline pilots. So to be a commercial, because there's a lot of people who are private pilots, and they are only capable of flying a plane under visual flight rules, i.e. they have to be able to see the horizon ahead of them. And if they don't see the horizon, they're going to get disoriented and they'll crash the plane, which happens. Who is that guy? It was JFK Jr., I think he might have crashed his plane that way because it was night. He got disoriented. You fly into clouds and you can't see the horizon anymore. In about 90 seconds, you'll probably get disoriented, not know which way is up or down, and then you crash your plane. Happens all the time. To be a commercial airline pilot, though, you have to be able to fly under instrument-rated rules so that you can fly a plane safely without even having to look out of the cockpit. You can just look at the instruments and know from the instruments which way's up, which way's down, and how you fly things. So, but even there, there's like smaller little prop planes that go around with commercial pilots. I hear more about crashes and things like that. When you get a big plane, we haven't had a big plane crash in the United States in a very long time. And so what happened January 29, 2025, you had this CRJ. It had a mid-air collision with a Sikorsky Black Hawk helicopter over the Potomac. We don't know exactly what happened, but the way I look at it, and this is right as the CRJ is trying to land at Reagan, the way I look at it is I think the helicopter was at fault here. The helicopter was told by air traffic control, hey, there's incoming traffic to Reagan. Keep an eye on it. Helicopter says, yeah, we see it. I think it was looking at the wrong incoming plane. And I think the helicopter is flying too high. It looks like it was flying about 350 feet. The max altitude for a helicopter in that flight corridor is 200 feet. So if it had been at 200 feet, it would not have hit the CRJ. So I don't even think it was the, at first I was concerned because I fly on PSA Airlines. I fly, the regional airlines have less, those pilots are not as experienced as the ones that fly the main airlines for American. So like when I look for flights, I love if I can get a nice Airbus A320 or a 747, 777, whatever it might be, knowing it's one of those big wide body, you know, big planes. It's got like, you know, 150 people in it. We haven't had an accident in one of those really since, I think the last one was probably in Queens. So we had 9/11, of course. That was a black swan event. After 9/11, though, you remember there was a few months later, a big American Airlines plane crashed in, I think it was in Queens. The reason was because the pilot was in wake turbulence. There was a big Japanese Airlines plane, huge plane, flew up ahead of it, in front of it, taking off, left a wake disturbance. Like, you know, like when a boat goes in the water, if a big boat goes through the water, it creates like a really big swell for smaller boats around it. Planes do the same thing. Big plane flies to the sky, creates distorted air, disturbances, that creates turbulence. So this American Airlines flight in 2001 in Queens was going up into the turbulence. The pilot was being too rough with the plane to use rudder compensation, and he snapped the rudder off in trying to compensate for the turbulence. And the plane without a rudder, it dropped like a rock out of the sky. And that was, and people thought at first it was, you know, terrorists. It's just been a few months after 9/11. But since then, I can't remember a big one losing a big plane like that in the U.S. That is, I remember as a kid back in the 90s, it felt like planes were dropping out of the sky left and right. You had TWA, ValueJet. I wasn't flying a lot back then. I was a kid. But it seemed like, and then of course, if those are my listeners remembering, back in like the 70s and 80s, of course, I mean, you had planes, you know, safety has been getting better and better and better with planes. There's a scene in the movie Oppenheimer where they take one of the scientists and they're like trying to get him to Los Alamos. He's like, it'd be faster if we just, this is about making the atomic bomb in the 40s. He's like, we could get there a lot faster if we flew. And the guy says, you're too valuable for this mission for the government to put you on a plane. So they take a train to Los Alamos. Because back then, of course, it's really dangerous. And then, you know, we've gotten so much safer. And, of course, things are still really safe now. The last big one with a commercial airline was 2009 Colgan Air. This is a turboprop plane, February 12, 2009, Newark to Buffalo. Wings iced up. The pilots were fatigued, overworked. They responded improperly to the stall warning. And this plane crashed, 50 fatalities on board. But I'd always thought, you know, hey, flying on these larger CRJ jet, we've been pretty safe for a while. But you know what? Things happen. I don't even think it was the CRJ's fault at DC. I think it was the Blackhawk's fault. So we'll have to wait for the full investigation to determine that. But it just makes me think more. But honestly, I think about it, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't fly anymore. But I'm like, nope, that is the irrational part of my brain. Think about like the millions and millions of people who've been flying since, especially like Colgan Air, since 2009. And now we have this, millions and millions of people. Like, I mean, it's so safe when you put it all together. It's so safe considering all of the people who die on the roads. We were on a family vacation last year. We were driving down the freeway. We saw an overturned truck and we saw bodies in the median. They were covered in blankets, but there are bodies out there. Happens every day. Fatalities on America's roads. I think it's hard because you and I think to ourselves, yes, but I have never been a fatality when I am driving a car. And yet there are fatalities in planes. So it's safer when I drive versus being on a plane or something like that, right? It's like, well, I never died when I was driving, so that must be safer than flying a plane. No, you got lucky so far. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I get all nervous. Like, what if I die? Like, well, what if I die? You know, hey, I had a good run. You know, pray for me. You know, Lord, have mercy on my soul. But I feel confident I can go and be with my maker. I feel bad. I'd feel most bad for my family. That's where I'd be most sad about, you know, that I wouldn't be there to be there for them. But at the end of the day, you can't be that worried like, oh, what if I make the wrong decision and I get on the wrong plane and I die? Hey, look, if it's your time, it's your time. He's going to call you home. And it's not like you're going to fool him. He's like, oh, you were supposed to die today, but you picked the other flight. Dang it, Trent, you got away again. It's like, no, if the Lord says it's my time, it's my time. There's nothing I can do about that. I mean, you should avoid foolish and stupid things. We have free will. But, you know, sometimes things happen. That's life. And the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So And so I was just thinking about this, but yeah, it's still really safe. You know, the other thing this collision also reminded me of, go online. There's a documentary on disasters called Seconds from Disaster. There's a good one on, there was a mid-air collision over Switzerland in 2002, the Überlingen mid-air collision. It was a collision between Bashkirian Airlines Flight 2937 and a DHL package. They fly, DHL does cargo and stuff like that. And very interesting. There's 71 fatalities. Everyone on both planes perished. And this happened. Oh, it happened. No, not Switzerland. Sorry. It happened over Germany. Überlingen, Baden-Württemberg, and Bagen. I apologize to my German listeners. I love the German language. I think it's wonderful. So I apologize for butchering that. But what happened, interesting here, part of the, and what makes me think of Überlingen, is the Reagan crash might have also been because air traffic control was overwhelmed. There was one guy doing helicopters and planes for the Reagan airspace in the tower, and I think he might have been overwhelmed. If someone else was there, he might have been able to spot the error earlier. Similar with Überlingen, there was a Swiss air traffic controller, and Peter Nielsen. And he was by himself, dealing with a lot of traffic. His phone lines were down for maintenance issues. He had a plane trying to go to Friedrichshafen Airport, and he couldn't get a hold of Friedrichshafen by the phone, so he had to guide the plane in, and he was just really scattered watching all these planes. And then he notices that Bashkirian Airlines and DHL are on a collision course. He doesn't notice too late, but he sees it, and he radios to, I think it was to the Bashkirian Airlines flight. He tells them to climb. No, he tells them to descend. Anyways, he told one of the planes to descend. And however, planes just recently had incorporated what's called TCAS, Traffic Collision Avoidance System. And TCAS, the automated system, was telling the DHL plane, it was telling one of the planes to go down and the other plane to go up, because the system works in tandem with the other planes to let them know, hey, automated system says it's going to be a collision. It tells one plane to go up, tells the other plane to go down. So TCAS was telling, I think it was the Bashkirian Airlines flight, the TCAS is telling them to go up, but the air traffic controller was telling them to go down, and they didn't know who to follow, so they followed the air traffic controller. And then they ended up colliding if they had listened to the automated warning system. So they've had a lot of protocols since then to say, no, listen to TCAS over what air traffic control says. And was actually a few years later, Nielsen was murdered by one of a man whose wife and children had died in the accident. He was murdered by Vitaly Kaloyev. So that was an interesting one. Go and check that out. Seconds from Disaster, Überlingen 2002 mid-air collision. So that's all. That's all I'm just processing through here from all of that. Hope this was helpful, maybe interesting to you all. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you have a very blessed day.